This year is brought to you by TorahWeb.org.
Shusav Libuetz, Avav Ma'ad Astra, Ma'ivah Bosai. Rabbi Alexandri Bosa de Matzlai Omahochi. Rabbi Alexandri, in the slot in Shmon Esrei, where we have adopted from this same Gemara, saying Elokai Netzor, Rabbi Alexandri used to add the following personal bakosha. Ribono Lomim, Master of all worlds, Goli V'yadua Lefanecha, it's known to you, it's obvious to you, Sheritzoneinu Lasos Ritzonecha, that it's our will to do your will. Umima Akev, what impedes, what holds us back? Se'or she'be'isa, the yeast and the dough, v'shibud malchios, and subjugation. Yehi ratzon milfanecha, may it be your will, she'tatzilenu miyodam, that you save us, that you extricate us from both of those forces. Se'or she'be'isa is generally understood to represent sort of the internal factor of the Yetzer Hara, the various impulses that we experience, and Shibud Malchios, the external adversities. Yiratzom ulfanachu shatatzileinu miyodam, may it be your will that you save us from the clutches of both of these forces, v'noshuv lasos chukei ritzonecha b'lev avshalem, and that we should wholeheartedly, with total conviction, optimally fulfill your mitzvahs. Shibud Malchios is highly, highly significant. We pin the fault of our lowly spiritual state 50% on Shibud Malchios. And in fact, Chazal, the Rambam, as you all know, quotes and endorses this, state that Ein Ben Olam Hazel Limos HaMashiach El Shibud Malchios Bilvat, the world in the times of the Melech HaMashiach in the Messianic era will function normally, naturally. The defining difference is the absence of Shibud Malchios, being subjugated. That's what we'll read the Haftarah soon in Yitzhak Hashem and Achron Shal Pesach from Yeshayahu, the imagery of a gor ze'ev im keves, that a sheep will lie down together with the wolf, etc. The Rambam elaborates on this maimer about the Yemos HaMashiach. Umibnei ze hisavu kol Yisrael nevi'eyem v'chachameyem Yemos HaMelech HaMashiach. For this reason, the greatest personalities of Jewish history, our Nevi'im, our prophets, our Chachamim, our sages, have always, throughout the millennia, yearned for Yemos HaMashiach, kedei sheyanuchu mimalchus harasha, so that there will be respite from Shibud Malchios. So I wanted to pose an egocentric question. That probably doesn't come as too much of a surprise for those who know me, but I'd like to pose an egocentric question, but not personally egocentric, but maybe generationally egocentric. I think anyone my age, even several years older, and certainly younger, who were born, raised, and have lived in America, seemingly, we haven't experienced Shibud Malchios. I have in my life. Let's talk pre October 7th, pre Simchas Torah. Even though the truth is, okay, there's a guard outside, but that doesn't affect the rhythm of life all that much. I've never had to contend with Shibud Malchios. I've never had to contend with governmental decrees that limited my opportunities for Talmud Torah or Shmiras HaMitzvahs, for better or worse. I've done what I've chosen to do. And again, I don't think that's only a personal autobiographical statement. I think it's probably an accurate generational assessment. So that's kind of scary. So that mitigating factor invoked by Rabbi Alexander, that mi ma'akev shibud malchios, I don't know. So can we not legitimately invoke that as a mitigating factor? It was never intended as an exculpating factor, but it certainly was and is intended as a mitigating factor. Equally scary is the thought that it's clear from that memra in Chazal, which the Rambam quotes and endorses, that Ein Ben Olam Hazel Yimos HaMashiach El Shibud Malchios Bilved, that relief and release from Shibud Malchios is something which is transformative. So is Yimos HaMashiach, this is beyond terrifying, not going to be any different for us than our present experience, because seemingly, ostensibly, we, again, speaking from a very narrow geographic generational perspective, obviously if we broaden the perspective, even at this time in history, there are Jews in other places who certainly have and do deal with Shibud Malchus. If we go back in Jewish history, of course. But again, geographically, generationally, we don't seemingly contend with Shibud Malchus. How are we supposed to process this? So let's look to Mitzrayim, which is both the forerunner as well as the prototype of all subsequent golios, of all subsequent exiles. The Rambam in the opening chapter of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, where he presents basically a history of emunah, a history of monotheistic belief. He describes the descent into Avodah Zarah, Avraham Avinu's discovery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham Avinu transmitting to Yitzchak, Yitzchak to Yaakov, Yaakov to the Shiftei Kor, until Naseis Ba'olam Uma HaYodas Es Hashem, until a nation appeared who recognized and was dedicated to belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then the Rambam describes, V'hoyo hadova holechu mizgaber, it was gaining momentum. There was positive momentum in terms of emunah v'Hashem, in terms of monotheistic belief. Bivnei Yaakov v'banil v'malehem, the children, the grandchildren of Yaakov Avinu, and those who joined them. V'nasez ba'olam umo shiyodasus Hashem, Ad she'orchu hayomim liYisrael b'Mitzrayim. But then, after our sojourn in Mitzrayim became extended, v'chozru lilmod ma'asehen, and they began to imitate, emulate the behavior of the Mitzrayim, v'lavar avarazor kamosan, and they regressed to idolatry. When did this happen? Was it only concomitantly with the avdus, with the servitude, and it was a casualty, or did it begin earlier? Right, Chazal tell us that the actual shibud didn't begin until all of the Shvatim had died. As long as one of the Shvatim, I think Levi lived the longest, as long as one of the Shvatim was still alive, there was no Shibud. So if you take a look at the Sforno in Parshas Bereishis on the Psukim of Bris Ben HaBsarim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu ki ger yiyah zara'acha be'eretz lo lohem ve'avadum ve'inu osam arba me'er shana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu presents to Avraham Avinu a vision and a message of 400 years of galus. And yet in Mitzrayim was Redushama, 210 years. So Rashi already tells us, no, the clock started ticking with the birth of Yitzchak Avinu. The Sforno says the assimilation in Mitzrayim happened before the Avdus began. The assimilation in Mitzrayim, says the Sforno, was the catalyst of the Avdus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not allow the Shibud Mitzrayim to begin until what the Rambam is describing had happened. Of the Chozru Lilmod Ma'asehen V'Lavad Avodah Zarah Kamosan. Let's seemingly shift gears for a moment. I'd like to read you an excerpt from a very famous responsum written by the Rav, Zichrono Livracha, when the issue of the day was removing, or the attempt, the question, the threat, the battle over mechitzas in Orthodox shuls. And the Rav, of course, opposed it b'chol levavo, b'chol nafsho, b'chol ma'odo. And he wrote as follows: I know beforehand the reaction to my letter on the part of our apostles of religious modernism and utilitarianism. They will certainly say that since a great majority of the recently constructed synagogues have abandoned separate seating, we must not be out of step with the masses. This type of reasoning could well be employed with regard to other religious precepts, such as the observance of Shabbos or the dietary laws. However, we must remember that an ethical or halachic principle decreed by God is not rendered void by the fact that people refuse to abide by it. Skipping several lines. In my opinion, the halachic dictum, b'shas gezeiras hamalchus, afilu mitzvah kala kagon l'shenuye arkeso de mesana yehoig val yavor, at a time of religious persecution through governmental decree, even for a minor custom, such as one involving changing a shoelace, let one suffer death sooner than transgress it, requiring of us a heroic stand in times of adversity, applies not only to political and religious persecution originated by some pagan ruler, but also to situations in which a small number of God-fearing and Torah-loyal people is confronted with a hostile attitude on the part of the majority dominated by a false philosophy. So the Rav explains in a different, entirely different context, the context of the halachas of martyrdom, that when the Gemara tells us that b'shas gezeiras amalchus, one must incur martyrdom basically for anything and everything, even what, according to Rashi's understanding of the Gemara, is only a custom of dress. The gezeiras amalchus doesn't mean only political persecution. It also means when one lives in a society where there's social and the social and religious orientation and philosophy of that society dominates and threatens to suppress authentic Torah values in life. That's also considered a Shas Gzeres HaMalchus. Gzeres HaMalchus can be social. It's not only political. And this wasn't some theoretical idea that the Rav toyed with. No, he said halacha lemaisa. It's one of the most extraordinary insights and in Piskei Halacha one will ever be zoche to learn. Shibud Gzeres HaMalchus, and I would suggest by extension, the same is true for the concept and experience and reality of Shibud Malchios. It can, of course, be expressed politically in form of servitude or persecution, but it can also consist of an aggressively alien religio-social milieu which minimally exposes us to an alien Weltanschauung, and at worst imposes its immorality and decadence. But not through servitude, not through the harsh decrees of the Spanish Inquisition, or the Roman Empire, but through political correctness, through social pressure. The same way, in the Rav's context, those forces, the aggregate of those forces, represent a Gzeres HaMalchus. When we speak of Shibud Malchios, we're talking about that also. When we go out into the world, and we see the utter confusion, when we see a world that's upside down, topsy-turvy, where morality is dismissed, is branded as bigotry, and immorality is championed. When we see the confusion about espoused, generated by the radical branch of feminism in terms of religious egalitarianism, when we see the confusion surrounding all the LGB issues, most recently around transgenderism, all these are expressions of Shiva Malchus. We don't perform Avodas Perach for Paro. We don't experience Shibun Malchios in that sense, but the Shibun Malchios of Orchu Hayomim the Yisrael, the Chazru Lilmod Maasehen, the confusion, the lack of clarity, those are all very real expressions of and casualties of Shibud Malchus. But you know, Shibud Malchus, it's not an all or nothing proposition. It's not a question of only if one, Rachmana Litzlan, assimilates so dramatically as to be Oved Avodah Zarah, or it's the various forms of Shibun Malchios that exist in today's society. It's not only if one fully, totally identifies, advocates. Shibun Malchios is also a matter of degree in terms of how we're affected by it. When the Rambam, in the Rambam with which we began, when he talks about the yearning for Yemos HaMashiach, so he decries the fact that currently, under the oppression of the Malchus HaRashoah, she'eino manachas len lasak b'toh b'mitzvos kahogen. It's not necessarily that there's no Torah, that there's no Shmiras HaMitzvos. The effect, the pernicious effect, the form in which we suffer from Shibud Malchios, can be a question of degrees also. And the truth is that that's already indicated in the Gemara in Brachos, that with which we began. Rabbi Alexandri says, Goli v'yadul f'necha sheritzoneinu lasos v'tzonecha. Lasos v'tzonecha, to do your will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not just a question of minimally discharging obligations. Lasos v'tzonecha means to serve you optimally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with total conviction, with complete clarity, a single-mindedness of purpose. Lasos v'tzonecha. And yihiratzel milfanecha tshatatzilenu miyadam, and when you'll extricate us from the clutches of Shibud Malchios and the Seor Sheva Isa, from the Shibud Malchios, so then noshav lasos chukei v'tzonecha b'lev of shalem. So even if I look in the mirror, even if we look in the mirror, and b'chaste Hashem, we don't see b'chaste Hashem, in looking in the mirror, we don't see in the image looking back at us wholesale assimilation. It doesn't mean that it's not happening lemechtza l'shlish v'l'reviyah. It doesn't mean that it's not happening to degrees. Maybe subtle, maybe more pronounced. You know, the story is told, maybe two stories. The Rav Zichron Levrach, I think this is actually printed in the Chumash Droshos, five of the Droshos that he delivered over the years at the annual Mizrahi convention. So he told the story how 1 year in Brisk, in the days of the Beis HaLevi, his great-grandfather, so it was a question of who would be appointed to oversee the chinuch in town. And there was someone who was known to be very close, a devotee of the Beis HaLevi, whose candidacy was put forward, and the Beis HaLevi opposed them. People were very taken aback. And the Beis HaLevi said, I'll explain my position to you based on a halacha from the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Halacha is if you deposit something with a shomer, who by accepting the deposit, therefore is accepting a certain degree of responsibility and liability for the object, and he's under the impression that what you're giving him is only silver. But in reality, it's gold. So then he can only be held accountable for the loss that would be generated by the loss of silver. Because netirusa de dahava lo kibel ale. Because when he accepted responsibility, so he was accepted for something precious, but not that precious. So the Beis HaLevi said, it's true that he values chinuch, but he values chinuch as silver. I need someone who values it as gold. So that's a subtle form of Shibud Malchias. Another story. The story is told of Baron Kotler when he first came to this country, he lived on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. One day, even after the end of the Second World War and he had established the yeshiva in Lakewood, he still lived on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. One day, rather precipitously, he got up and he moved to Lakewood. When he was asked what happened, so he said that he noticed that the Chilul Shabbos that he would see weekly in Manhattan was beginning to bother him a trifle less. He was becoming desensitized. I mean, this is Ravan Kotler speaking, so under the microscope. He was becoming desensitized to Chilul Shabbos. He said, in Lakewood, the only Jews there are Shomer Shabbos. I won't see any Chilul Shabbos. That's also the effect of Shibud Malchios. Even when we look in the mirror and we're on the correct side of some of the issues we mentioned, and those were only intended as examples and illustrations, there are so many more. Even if we're on the right side, but it doesn't mean that there isn't a subtle effect of Shibud Malchios in terms of our clarity, in terms of our understanding of right and wrong. And yet another effect of Shibud Malchios, again, even when the image in the mirror, fortunately, v'chaste Hashem, shows the person on the side of truth, on the side of Torah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us a fascinating story. The Tanoim were once sitting together in a certain loft, and they heard a bas kol. Did yesh kan echad shavoi shetishra olav shchina? There's someone here worthy of prophecy. El she'ein doro zakeh lechach. But his generation is not deserving. So the Brisa recounts how they all looked at Hillel and assumed that the bas kol was referring to Hillel. I'm not sure on the history how many generations later it is, but a similar scene recurs. Again, they hear the bas kol. And this time, they all look at Shmuel HaKotan. So the question is, so what that the generation is not deserving? If the individual is deserving, if Hillel HaZakein is deserving of prophecy, let him have prophecy. The Rambam writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants prophecy for either of two reasons. Sometimes he gives a nevuah because he's sending the Navi as an emissary to deliver a message to us. But other times, a Navi merits Nevuah just for his personal Hishtalmut, just for his own, because he's deserving of it.
So HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows the Nevuah. So if Hillel HaZaken is deserving, if Shmuel HaKotan is deserving, why is the state of the generation at all relevant? So my father, Zichron Levracha, told me in the name of our uncle, the Baron Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha, that he explained as follows. What the Gemara means is that even the greatest of the generation, even a Hillel, even a Shmuel HaKotan, in terms of their own personal attainment, is affected by the general level of the surrounding community and society. What the Gemara means is, Elish Ein Do Zake L'Chach, is Hillel, had he lived in a different time and place, Hillel, as incomparably great as he was, would have been even greater, such that he would have merited Nevuah. The same for Shmuel HaKotan. So these are all more subtle expressions of the Shibud Malchios. And the expressions of Shibud Malchios that we do live with. So the answer to, again, our generational, geographic question of Shibud Malchios is that our entire lives we've lived with Shibud Malchios. One, in order to authentically, B'shar Shemachnisen Odom Ledin, the Gemara and Shabbos tells us, when a person is ushered in for din, to give a reckoning about his life, so there are several basic, fundamental questions that are posed to him. And one of the questions posed to an individual is Tzipisa LeYeshua. Did you hope? Let's undertranslate. Did you hope for the Yeshua? As long as we're complacent and content with our reality, we can't be mitzapeh for anything. If everything is good, if everything is good in my life, if nothing is amiss, I want to perpetuate the status quo. I'm not looking for transformation. I'm not looking for anything to be overhauled. No, just let it continue indefinitely. To be mitzapel Yeshua, it means that we have to find the Shibud Malchios in the form that we experience it, the non-political, non servitude, non-subjugation form that we experience it. We have to find that Shibud Malchios oppressive. We have to find that Shibud Malchios suffocating. And it also means that even though obviously we'll only be fully extricated from Shibud Malchios in Yemos HaMashiach, but it means that to whatever degree we can help ourselves now in insulating ourselves from Shibud Malchios, so then we're required to do so. And without it, there can't be a Tzipia LeYeshua. If I'm complacent and content with the Shibud Malchios, so how can I genuinely, authentically be looking for that to be reversed? And be asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shatatzilenu Meyodom, that he should extricate us from it. B'nisan Nigalu, B'nisan Asidin Higoel. We certainly cannot, which is why we need the Geula, we certainly cannot walk the entire road on our own. But there are steps that we can take spiritually along that path to Geula. In terms of looking for the truth of Torah with as much, and it should be bolstered and backed up with as much conviction as possible in terms of looking for the clarity amidst the moral and religious confusion. All those are very real and meaningful steps towards Geula, and they're expressions of Tzipir Yeshua. And we echo the tefillah of Rabbi Alexander that Yiratzal Mufanecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shetatzileinu Miyodom V'Noshev L'Avdocha V'Leiv Avshalim.